Good morning. I know you have two booklets in front of you. That's at the moment. So what we're going to start with, actually, is the booklet that looks like, I'll show you, the one that has the sikha on it. So it's not the Chumash pages. It looks like this. It's this one. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Exactly, Rona has exactly this one. Okay. Because I'll tell you what we're going to do. Last week, we did a lot of the Mefarshim inside. It was only on the first few psukim, so I'm looking today, help. This story is so deep, so we hope we'll try to move as we to keep it interesting. But today I just want to do two more things before we go back into the psukim, because we had two concepts that I wanted to explore. The first one I'll tell you the second. The second one was the big question of the name of Yahushua, which we'll see soon. Good morning. So we'll first end the name as far as why Moshe Rabbeinu specifically davened only for Yahushua and not for anybody else. We're going to see a little bit of something deep from a sicha, and then we'll see also some of the commentaries. But before we do that, there's one more thing that it's drop repetitive, but just puts it together so beautifully before we move on the name of the parasha, Shlach Lecha. As we said, Moshe Rabbeinu was told to send for himself. I know we dealt with it at length last week, and it was sort of, it sounds almost like it was his choice. Did Hashem agree? Was it sanctioned? Was it a good thing, right? All the big questions, so many layers to the question. But I want to explore one very nice aspect of how that really applies to us before we move on in our lives. And I know we did mention a little bit, but I'll just show it to you inside and hopefully we'll get it clear. And then, as we say, we'll move on. So on this first page, it says a number 34 on the top. And there's a very interesting question that's asked here. We won't do it all inside. We'll do some. So one question that's asked is that this name of the parsha, Shlach, that we're doing now, means to send. And of course, the first story is the story of the Meraglim. But it also contains other things. This parsha, we'll see, has the mitzvah of tzitzis in it. And it also has the mitzvah of challah in it, in parsha Shlach. And we know that tzitzis especially is considered a mitzvah klolis. It's like this over, it's a mitzvah which is done to remind you about all the other mitzvahs. So it's a very general and a very big mitzvah. So is the mitzvah of challah. And the question is, why do we name the parasha Shlach? And how does this story that we have at the beginning connect to the general concept of learning Torah and doing mitzvahs? Because it must, because there are other things in the parasha. So that's why we have to understand what is this. So that's why, let's go to, you see where there's a beis on the second column? So on the second column, beis in the middle, I'll show you something nice. He says like this. So we'll understand this by first understanding what was the actual sin, so to speak, of the Meraglim. So he says, simply, we must say that they sinned, Sheba'u, that they came, Visipru, and what did they say? And we didn't read those psukim yet. We'll hopefully read them today, but we know the story is that when they came back and they gave their report, they said, Ki oz ha'am, the nation is strong, Hayeshev ba'aretz, that lives in the land, the ha'arim b'tzures g'dayles ma'oid, and they are very fortified cities, v'gam yilidei ha'anok re'inu sham, and they also reported how they saw children of giants, right? So they came back with this very terrifying report. And seemingly what's not understood about this being the problem, what's not understood, good morning, because we know what were they sent for. They were sent to see the land, Mahi, and the nation that's living there. And we'll do, as I say, we'll do a little bit of the Mefarshim on this inside today. But just see, what were they asked? Moshe Rabbeinu said to see, Hachazaku, are the people that live there strong, and Ummah Ha'arim, and to describe the cities. That's what they were asked to do. Hamavachanim and Hamavtarim, are they cities with walls, cities without walls? Moshe was very specific with his questions. So when they came back and gave their report, really it looks like they're just actually answering the questions that Moshe had set out to them. So he says, and that's why they answered all these things. So then the question, the Lama Yechshav, Zelechet, why is it considered a sin? V'harei Adraba Bazem Milu Es Tafkidam, they're just fulfilling their job, so to speak, to spy the land. And we know, and this is a very famous thing, but we'll just see a few beautiful, subtle things that I think make a big difference to understanding how that applies to us. So he says, Vabir, Moshe Rabbeinu, Shalcham, Lehivada, Be'ezet Derech Va'ayfen. As we mentioned last week, some of the commentaries say, when Moshe Rabbeinu sent them, he wanted to find out which way and how Kal Yoiser is easier, Lichbaish Yoseret Yisrael, to conquer the land. Ooh, as we said, Ube'ezet Mokayim, and which place? Kedai Yoiser, Lahaschel HaKibosh, where is it better to start the conquering from, right? That's what he wanted. And these are the key words, Biderech HaTeva, naturally. Which way would it make sense naturally to start the conquering, to start the war, to be successful? And we know he says interesting thing here in parentheses, why? Why do we even have to do anything naturally? And we're going to mention something that was in last week, just we read it in the Parashah on Shabbos, the famous beautiful line that Hashem brought out in Parashas Ekev. Parashas Ekev has so many beautiful psukim, but amongst them is one of the most beautiful psukim, as that Eretz Asher Hashem Alekecha Doyresh Ba, Eretz Asher Einei Hashem Alekecha Ba, Mireishis Hashana Vad Achris Hashana, which means that Eretz Yisrael is the land upon which Hashem's eyes are on it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, right? We know that the land of Israel has special supervision from Hashem, which means what that translates is that it's a miraculous land. There's no question about it. It's a land that lives by miracles. So why do we have to even do anything naturally when we're about to conquer the land? So we know there's a very famous thing that we are told, and that's how we're meant to live our life, that although we know everything is a miracle, and Hashem is constantly doing miracles for us, and a Jew's life is supernatural no matter what, nevertheless, we have to live according to nature. Not only that, but we are told, Lo avid kutcha b'richo nisa l'migena. Hashem doesn't do a miracle for nothing. We're meant to live our life where we don't put ourselves in danger and expect Hashem to do a miracle for us, even though he might, right? If it's bashert that we should live, he will, but we're not supposed to activate that, because the way the world is supposed to run is according to its natural course. So here they have to go see which is the natural way, best way to conquer the land. That's why. So then we go to the next page. Go to page 35. He says, even gamim soif kol soif, yezakul klunais, even if at the end you will need a miracle. But nevertheless, what do we have to do? An interesting thing. This is also something fascinating, that a lot of times we have, you know, let's say chas v'shalom, somebody is, it's not the best example, but if somebody's quite sick, and the doctors don't give a good prognosis, right? They say not much hope. Nevertheless, as a Jew, what do we do? So you could say sit home and just say tillim, right? And anyways, you need a miracle, right? So just wait for the big miracle. So what does Torah say? Torah says, yeah, expect the miracle, but still you have to do exhaust everything that you can naturally, right? That's what we do. Why? Because we minimize the miracle. It's very interesting. We don't maximize miracles. We don't expect Hashem. In other words, if we can, we minimize the amount of miraculous conduct we expect. Okay, it's all a miracle, and hope, you know. So that's why even over here, even though whatever they're going to do, it's still going to be miraculous that this nation, which just came out of Egypt, who's just barely a nation, it's like now, right, when they came out of the Holocaust, barely a nation, and yet everything's, but still you have to have an army, you still have to have guns, you still have to do what you can, even though you know it's all miracles, you minimize the miracle. How? By putting in as much natural effort as you can, while knowing that, of course, we're always relying on Hashem. So, of course, that's the idea of these miraglim, and it makes sense. So then the big question, what's the problem, as we know? So the problem was, and that's how he mentions over here, Ulam ha-miraglim, but the miraglim, la'achare she-sipru al-dvar ha'am va'arim va'aret, after they told, you know, they came back and they gave the whole report, they tell about the nation, they tell about the cities, they describe the land, what do they do? Ha'isifu ve'hesiku maskana. This is the problem, the key problem. They come to a conclusion. They somehow rationally derive some kind of a conclusion about their success in the mission. And their conclusion is not such a positive one, because naturally they're right. But that's not what they're meant to do. They're not meant to come to a conclusion and decide we won't be able to conquer the land. That's not part of the equation. Let's see, as he says, right? Why? Ki chazak lo nuchal la'alos, we can't go up el ha'am to this nation. Ki chazak hu mimenu, because they're too strong for us. Hainu, shemach masakushi, and because of the challenges Shera'u, that they saw, B'kibosh Eretz Yisrael, B'derech HaTeva, that they had witnessed when they went to spy, and they knew it would be challenging. And naturally, it would be very challenging for them to be able to conquer the land. So therefore, they concluded, Leinucha la'alos. The Kaifsha, we will not be able to go up, we will not be able to conquer it. Afal pi shekein tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though Hashem commanded. Now, what does that have to do with me and you? I mean, we think we're not chosen to be spies. We're not leaders. We're not one of the 12 chosen people. And what does it matter what our opinion is? So actually fascinating. He says it so beautifully here. He says like this, that the truth is, Al pi zeh muvan, shahayra misipra meraglim, he, what's the lesson? Shayeches leklovos ha-Torah v'mitzvah. It's actually connected to, generally, to everything in Torah mitzvah. That what? And this is a very important line. Yisayid ikri, a very important foundation, like a main foundational principle, b'kiyum kol ha-mitzvahs, in keeping all of the mitzvahs, is ha-yediyah, the knowledge, she-mikeivan sha-mitzvahs heim tzivei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since the mitzvahs are commands from Hashem, barur ha-davar, it is clear, she-efshar l'kaimam, that you can do it. This is the line. If Hashem commanded it, and you are, it's a command to you, if it's part of your responsibilities, whether you're a woman or a kohen, whatever it is, right? If it fits into your package, you can do it. That's what you have to know. That's the first thing you have to accept. If Hashem commanded it, then it's, and he says, ki ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mevakei shelo lefi koichan, Hashem doesn't ask us, only according to what we are capable of. And I think we gave this mashal last week, just very quickly, the famous thing that if somebody designs, for example, I'm not sure if I gave it here, I think I had a different share. Somebody designs a computer, let's say, right? So the programmer who designs the program knows exactly what the computer can do. And the programmer is not going to punch into the computer to do something that he didn't program the computer to do, obviously, because he made it. Hashem designed us. He knows exactly what we're capable of. And he only asks us to do things that he designed us to be able to do. And therefore, this has to be the approach every day when we approach our life and our mission in this world and our Torah mitzvahs, for sure. And that's what he says. But together with this is the very important part. So now, if that's the case, a person might think, well, if Hashem designed me that I should be able to overcome all my challenges and I should be able to do every mitzvah and all the Torah, well, then I don't have to put too much effort in, right? Because Hashem designed me that way, right? And things will somehow fall into place. Like a simple example for us, I mean, it's a stupid example, but a simple example would be if somebody says, and Shabbos, let's say, is coming in at 4:30, well, if Hashem told me I have to make Shabbos, so I can start at 2 in the afternoon. I'll manage. No, you don't work that way. That's not what Hashem wants us to do. Maybe we do have to do some shopping on Wednesday. Maybe we do have to start cooking on Thursday. You have to know. You have to know what you're capable of and what's going to enable you naturally to be able to fulfill that mitzvah. And if a person also doesn't make enough money to buy an esrog, well, they're not going to have the esrog, right? So you have to do naturally what you need to do. And that's what he says, Ela shala'achre yediyazu, after this knowledge, harei gam b'nei geyele kiyama mitzvahs, ein saimchin al hanes. It's on the second column there. So when it comes to services, we also don't rely on miracles, right? Just like we said. So the miraglim, this is what we learned. It's both sides. He does send. Moshe sent spies. Why? That's what we have to do. Because that's the natural way we do it. So we do have to make an effort. And we do have to put everything into place so that we should be able to fulfill the mitzvah. But at the same time, knowing that we can do it. It's not that we put things into place to see if we'll be able to do it. Like some people might say, I'll save up enough money and then I'll go learn Torah. No, you have to learn, but you also have to earn money, right? That you have to do. But you don't, not if, it's only when and how we're going to make it happen. And that's what we do naturally. So that's the first lesson. Then he goes into another beautiful lesson. So as he says, interesting thing that and the truth is that we also have to, why do we have to do things naturally? Because the truth is that's what Hashem wants. Hashem wants, as we've mentioned many times, he wants a dwelling place, as we call it in the Hasidic terminology, Dir B'Tachtonim, right? A dwelling place down here in the lowest world, which means in the natural order. Which means Hashem wants us to bring him into our natural world. Not destroy the world, rather bring Hashem into a beautiful, built-up natural world. So therefore, we have to work in a natural way so that we can bring Hashem in to the natural world and do Torah mitzvahs in the most natural way possible that we can, obviously, whatever is possible. And then he says, then together with this, he's obviously, this is relevant to all the mitzvahs. Let me just see. And that's actually interesting. That's why it's mentioned, this lesson we learn from how they enter the land of Israel. Because this is a very beautiful idea. It's like this, that if you look on Eis Dalid, so it's still on that page 35, on the bottom, the last paragraph, the Habir Bazeh. Taychenu Mailas Eretz Yisrael Mevuar Bekosov. So the if you want to say the advantage, the greatness of the land of Israel, and this is, as we mentioned, the pasuk that we read in this week's parasha, what is Eretz Yisrael? Eretz asher eine Hashem alekechaba mireishis hashana v'ad achrishana, right? It's the land upon which Hashem's eyes from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, right? The supervision is constant. Hainu shebo ha-hashkocha ha-elyayna hi ba'ayfen pnimi v'galoi. This is a beautiful thing. Hashem truthfully watches all of us everywhere. Even in Sydney, he's watching us. The difference is that in Israel, you feel it more. It's in a more revealed way, as we see. And it's in a more internal way. That's the truth. It's much deeper. Because that's where his will is. It's like, you know how you say, when you want to get to a goal, sometimes you have to do some things along the way. So, you know, you have to do things. So you do them. Obviously, you do them well. But when you get to what you really want to be doing, that's where you really are, right? So Eretz Yisrael is really where Hashem wants to be, right? That's the goal, so to speak. So over there, you feel Hashem's presence in a much stronger way, and it's much, much more revealed. And obviously, the supervision is much deeper. But nevertheless, he says that the truth is, and the truth is, as a Jew, what we believe is that Eretz Yisrael is a physical place, and it's true. But wherever a Jew lives, he has to make a sort of mini Eretz Yisrael around them in a spiritual sense until we can get to the physical Eretz Yisrael, right? And as we know in the time of Mashiach, that the land of Israel will, and what does it say? Asidin l'spashet, will spread to the whole world. The whole world will become holy, so to speak, like the land of Israel. But the point over here is like this, that what we are meant to do is that we are meant to, every single day, when we wake up and we start to enter the land, which means we enter our life, our daily life, everything we're going to encounter, we have to stop for a moment and do something. This is what we learned from Moshe Rabbeinu. We have to send out spies. What does that mean, to send out spies? That means we have to make an assessment. We have to look at the day, I mean, to the best of our ability. Obviously, we don't know everything we're going to encounter. We have no idea who we're going to meet, but we know what we plan to do that day, and generally speaking, hopefully, most days are not too different, as we all hope for. You know, life should be boring and normal. We don't need any, simchas, but nothing else. But when we know what we are about to encounter every day, we have to sit down for a moment, and actually, it's interesting, we have to think about it and plan. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing here. Send out spies means to plan. I'm going to encounter this and this challenge. How do I know? Because I did it yesterday. You know, I go to work, I meet this person, I'm going to meet her again. This person is not so nice, whatever it may be, whatever it is. How am I going to deal with it? A person is meant every single day before they start their day to send out spies and figure out, how am I going to deal with the challenges that I face today? Knowing that Hashem is with us and there's miracles. It's true. And even though that some of those challenges seem very difficult, they almost insurmountable, but if Hashem gave them to me, they're surmountable. Sometimes I'll need his help more than others, and he will be there, but I have to do what I can do. So this is the message, a very powerful message, and that's why this is such an important part of, if you want to say, of this parsha, that it starts with this, and this leads to the other mitzvahs, because this is the way we do everything. Every bit of Torah and every bit of mitzvahs. Torah, we know, well, before we do, well, we know we're told that before we learn Torah, that's in a way easier, because in the morning we make a special bracha, right? We say, HaNoisein HaTorah, right? We say, because we have to make a bracha before we learn, so we make it in the morning. And what do we say? That Hashem is the giver, in the present tense, of the Torah. That means He's constantly giving us the Torah. So we recognize that Hashem is part of the process of us being able to learn Torah. Interesting, some people don't realize what that means is that also, it doesn't just mean the ability that we have to be able to understand and to internalize, but even to get to the shir. Just to get there sometimes is a challenge, right? So we have to say Hashem is part of the equation. He's giving us the Torah and He's going to enable us, He's going to help us to make sure that we get there, whatever, whichever way it is, that we should be able to learn that Torah. He'll provide. But we have to put in our effort. And when it comes to mitzvahs, we know we make a bracha before we do a mitzvah. Asher kiddishanu b'mitzvaysav. Why? Again, to connect ourselves to Hashem before we do a mitzvah, and to realize and acknowledge that He gives us the strength and He's there with us. But again, we have to, that balance, we have to do everything we can naturally to make it happen. This is such an important part. This is the key, if you want to say, in a sense almost, to the lesson. And that's why it is, this parasha is called Shlach. We all have to do that. We all have to send out our own messages, so to speak, to ourselves. How am I going to do it? What am I going to do about this? How am I going to take care of this? How am I going to manage that? And that's also why it says Lecha. Because it says that Hashem wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to become a partner with Him. It's your own. It's very interesting. This is, you know, you talk about creativity and people having their own talents. Hashem wants us to invest ourself in the picture. That's how we become partners to Hashem. So it's not always directly commanded, and that's where the gray areas, which are sometimes much harder, right? So we might say, well, this is not necessarily a direct mitzvah, but our whole life is meant to be lived, that we can come closer to Hashem. So every single thing that we do, we're meant to see, how do we bring Hashem into it? How do we connect to Hashem through it? And how do we do that? As we said, firstly by thinking and deciding and looking and figuring out what the best way is, and at the same time, relying that Hashem will help us. So the both things have to come together, and we become partners with Hashem, and we are able to do it. That's how, the only way. And so it's both things. It's easy to say, and when it comes to a real challenge, it's not so easy. And what I mean by a real challenge, I don't mean the big things. I'm talking even the small things, the day-to-day things that we feel are too difficult for us. Everybody has those things that, like, you know, you put it on the back burner because that's the too difficult basket, and we do, we feel that. And that's what we have to realize. This, for the Meraglim, that's what Eretz Yisrael was. For those people who went in and saw the different things that we'll see today, you know, in the land, and the giants, and it was too difficult to go in, or it was too difficult, in other words, it would contradict how they felt they want to live their life. You realize the protected way. So all of that together, the picture that they painted was not a good idea. We're not going. And that's what we have to make sure we don't do. We don't come to that negative conclusion. We come to the conclusion that if Hashem asked us, then we can do it. Very, very important. And also, and now I just want to show you, go on to the, now if you, I know I didn't do it all inside, but the next one, I want to read you one or two paragraphs. Look on page 37. I'll just read you one paragraph, and then we'll move on to the next thing. I told you I wanted to do a little bit about Yeshua. So if you look on page 37, there's a paragraph that has like little stars near it, as you see on the top there. I'm starting a bit. So I just want to read just a short paragraph. It just says it beautifully. He says, "V'zohi ha'iras v'yasuru es eretz Kanan." This is the lesson that we say, spy the land. Hanemar b'tor hachana. That's said as a preparation to going into Eretz Yisrael. Lifnei kiyum ha-mitzvah, before the keeping of a mitzvah, tzarech ha-adam losur. A person has to spy. V'lehiz b'ynein, and to contemplate. B'inyana, the whole thing of the mitzvah. V'kavanasa, and the purpose, as we say, tachlis is the purpose, and the intent, shel ha-tayr v'ha-mitzvah sheba lilmaydu l'kayim, what he's about to do. You have to think about it. That's the first step. Very, very important. And then you'll be able to actually do it. Okay, now, go to the next thing. I have to show you something. I think it's in the same booklet, right? If you go, you'll see this page 1. In the same booklet, you'll come to a page one, because this is from a different, this is in Yiddish actually. And I'll read you some of it inside and some of it outside. Didn't star this one, did I? I bracketed one on the next page. I'll read you one paragraph from this first page. Here we come to the big question, which again, I would like to go into the Mefarshim, but since you have this here, I'll show you this first. Interesting, the big, big question that everybody asks when they learn one of the big questions of the story, it doesn't seem fair. Moshe Rabbeinu davens for Yeshua, and he doesn't daven for all the other Meraglim. So Yeshua goes out with an advantage. Well, obviously he comes back with a good report, because Moshe davened for him. What about the rest of them? Why didn't Moshe daven for them? The question's even deeper. If Moshe sees that he needs to daven for Yeshua, obviously he sees there's some problem there, right? Because the words that are used is, Ka Yeshiacha Me'atzas Miraglim. Hashem should save you from the negative advice of the Miraglim. Obviously, you know something's wrong. So it's, the whole thing is so interesting. What's happening here? So here, it's a very fascinating way of looking at it. And we'll see a few insights. But just one beautiful one here. So I'll show, let me see which one I want to do inside from here. There's some very nice lines here. Okay, so first he just starts to describe how a person, when he, it's interesting, when a person embarks, let's say we talked about doing Torah mitzvahs, so when a person embarks on their day and has many mitzvahs that they want to do, so we know one of the things is just the general challenges, but also everybody's designed with, Hashem made our computer with the hitch in it, with the Yetzirah. And each and every one of us has our own personal Yetzirah, as we know, designed for us. It's our own personal challenges that we face that are internal. And the Rebbe asks a very beautiful question. He says like this, the truth is that if the Yetzirah would come to us today and tell us, I don't know, eat the chazer or whatever, you know, things that are like foreign, you're not going to do it because it's foreign to you. We're not interested. We're not going into the, you know, whatever, that KFC. It doesn't even exist. We pass it. It doesn't even exist to us. So what does he do? He starts very slowly, right? He starts with small, subtle things that are actually not even such a problem, but they're not for us. Like, they're not something we should be engaging in, but they're not such a big problem. And slowly, 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 he makes inroads the Yetzirah. And they're very smart, designed, as we know, to influence us, where he breaks us, and he makes us feel weaker, and he makes us feel things are not attainable. And slowly, 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 what ends up happening is that we are unable to do what we're meant to do because he has made inroads, right? Because he's broken us a bit. That's how the Yetzirah works. Breaks us. That's exactly one of his best techniques. Just want to see. And he says, beautiful, and he says, in some Anfang kommt der Yetzirah mit der Taina. So first he comes with the, like, you know, the, so to speak, the complaint or the suggestion, was epis musst du mekayim sein die mitzvah behitter? Why do you have to keep this mitzvah so well? You know, just do it simply. Who says you have to do it so perfectly? Who says you have to have the nicest food on Shabbos? Who says you have to have the best esrog? Who says you have to do things so beautifully? Just get it done. And then he says, on azoit zu bislach, and slowly, slowly, ba kumter an esinas makim, im zu zogin er zol oiver zayn an iser. Slowly, slowly, because he weaves himself in, he can start to tell you to do something that's even wrong. Because slowly, he breaks you slowly, slowly, and then he has a voice inside of you. And that's how it works. So therefore, a person has to be on guard, right, constantly, and know that he has to beware, so to speak. I just want to show you, where does that come in? Okay, so let's see how he fits. Very beautiful idea he's going to mention here. Okay, I want to skip this next. Now, if you look on page 2, Ois Dalit. See, Ois Dalit on page 2. I think I circled and made a bracket there. Did I? I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe not. No, because I think I copied it before. Okay, so it's on page 2, and it's on the second column on the bottom. And it says, Azay v'yeshteten zayhar vegen drei tzadikim. And here we have a very famous idea that's very fascinating. And this is where it comes into the concept of Yahushua. So, you know, when we go back historically, we have many, but Jewish history tells us about three very famous tzadikim who were leaders. And we compare them a little bit in their way that they led. So the first one we know, we say, okay, so he says, right, so thinking was Yedef and Zay is given in Adar, versus given Nit vs Darf Tzuzan, right? Each of these leaders were in a generation that wasn't behaving the way they should. Noach, Avraham, and Moshe. So what happened by Noach? B'shas ha-mabul, Noach mispalel given blois far zichalein. So Noach, he was in time of the flood, he davened only for himself, or far zayin and b'nei bayis, and for his household. Und wegen dem ganzen Dor hat nit getracht. He didn't think about the rest of the generation. We know, mer nit, b'shas min is im gekummen, Umin hat dem gefreckt zu Livaser bait die Teva. Now we're on top of page 3. The only thing that Noach did do is, while he was building the Teva, people approached him and said, why are you building the Teva? Then he bothered to respond, right? Hat er seht erzählt, dass der Eibster geht bringen am Mabel auf der Welt und hat sich gemussert, right? That's when he told them off. But till then, he didn't go near anybody. He did his own thing, lived his own private life, just him and God, and that was it, and only worried about his own family. As he says, that's when he told him Hashem is going to bring a marble. Abradas is given b'shas min is im gekumen to him. Right? Only when people approached him. B'shas min is gekumen. Okay. Zu zei is doch nit gegangen. He didn't go to them. Zogte. Then der Zayar ashverin vert. Okay, so the Zayar doesn't approve of Noach's behavior and actually describes him quite harshly. But we know Avraham was very different. Avraham had a whole different approach. What did Avraham do? Very interesting. Because we know Avraham's famous for spreading godliness, right? He was the one who spread, he was the first one, said that there's one God. But there's also something unique about Avraham. Do you remember when Avraham begged for not to destroy Sidaim? What did he say to Hashem? What would be the defense, so to speak? What did he call them? Yeah, righteous. And how do you say it? Tzadikim. He actually said 10 tzadikim, right? He didn't say 10 ordinary people. He didn't say 10 people trying to connect to Hashem. He said 10 righteous people, okay? So Avraham did a lot of good. I mean, there's no question. He changed the whole world. But nevertheless, Avraham still had a connection. And who did he put himself in to save? Tzadikim, right? That's who he felt the world deserved to be saved for. So it's also a unique form of leadership where he does deal with ordinary people, but he still places an extra value on somebody who's a tzaddik, which makes sense. But nevertheless, that's how he converses with Hashem, as we say. So his whole point, actually, what he wanted really was, as he says, "Machen alim in far tzaddikim." He really wanted to make everybody into tzaddikim. That was his goal. When he met you, he was hoping that he would be able to elevate you to the level of a tzaddik. That's what Avraham hoped. And that's why when he approached Hashem, he said, save the city if there's 10 tzaddikim. But there wasn't. Now we have the third leader. That's a whole different model of leadership. And that's Moshe Rabbeinu. What's unique and different and really special about Moshe Rabbeinu is, what does Moshe Rabbeinu do when we mess up? Quite powerful. Yeah, he does. And not only... Yeah, save who?
Israel.
Who? Anybody. The wicked. The sinners. Yes. He and goes and not... Yeah, it's amazing.
And Hashem's name won't be, desecrated. People will think that you didn't want to say...
Okay, so that's true. So that's true, Riva. You're right. That was some of the logic. But we find that he took it even a step further. Because remember how he said, Mecheini no misifracha, right? If you don't save the people, erase me from your book. Mm-hmm. So he's willing, Moshe is giving up his own life, but for who? Not for a tzaddik, not for an ordinary person, for people who really did terrible things, worshipped idols, denied God. I mean, these are really not good people. But he is ready to put his life away for them. Moshe is known, as we know the famous, the beautiful words, as the Raya Behemna. The faithful shepherd. Moshe is the real Raya Behemna. He's the one who loves us no matter what we do. Like real unconditional, right? That's Moshe Rabbeinu. So we say, now Moshe Rabbeinu, the Raya Behemna, what does he see? He sees the future. Who's going to be taking the Jewish people into the land of Israel? It's going to be Yeshua. It's not going to be him. But Yeshua has to follow his model of leadership because that's a true leader. That's the only way the Jewish people have a future. So Moshe Rabbeinu sees That's the interesting thing about the other miraglim. He doesn't see anything negative. It's not mm-hmm. negative. Remember, we mentioned this. Why did the Jews want to stay in the desert? What was the big reason?
Afraid.
Well, they were afraid. That's true. And they were afraid both physically and spiritually. You know, they wanted to lead this, you know, nice protected life in the clouds. You know, it's wonderful. And that would be beautiful. And the truth is, it's not such a terrible thing. What's so bad about that? It's fantastic. Imagine if you could live in a world where there's no internet and there's no news from anything. And all you live with is good people who do the right thing all day. It's fantastic.
Now
it's amazing.
Entry.
And what did you say?
An empty pantry.
An empty pantry. No, but they didn't. But you know what, Reva? They had everything. They even had the pantry. It was empty, but they knew they would have food the next day. So they had it all. But you're. Yes, what a life, right? That's what they wanted. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu knew that wasn't what Hashem wanted, because Hashem wants us to live in this world, right? That was the whole point. So we have to go into the land of Israel. But those 10 other miraglim, it's not a disaster if they choose to live a protected life, because they are not the next leaders of the Jewish people. But for Yahushua, it would be a disaster. He has to be there for the people. He has to be able to connect to the people. He has to be there to elevate the people to do what their true mission is. And that's why Moshe says, I have to daven for Yahushua. The other ones, they can decide what they want, how they want to live their life, what their path is. That's their personal decision. And it's not necessarily bad. It ended up they did make a wrong choice, but they didn't have to. That wasn't the point. They could have made a right choice that still wouldn't have been right as a leader. So Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I better daven for Yeshua, because he has to do something really hard. He has to be willing, no matter what he sees in that land, to take the Jewish people into that land and face the music, all the difficulties, all the physical challenges, all the material challenges. And that's what they saw. You know, when they saw the land, how beautiful it was, it sounds amazing. It's like, you know, if we would be looking at pictures, like, oh, think of vacation, such a beautiful place, fantastic. But they knew what they're going to encounter there. This is a land that has a lot of temptation. A land that's comfortable, that's beautiful, that's physically, materially rich. It's full of temptation. So people pull back and hesitate. Moshe wanted Yeshua to say, no, 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 that's where we have to go. And I'm going to manage to take my people with me and keep them protected in that difficult place. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ka Yeshiacha Me'atzas Miraglim. Their way might be good for them, but it's not good for you. And this is actually quite magnificent, because what we see, something amazing, that Moshe Rabbeinu, not only was he a faithful shepherd for the Jewish people, but he knew what a faithful shepherd is. And he knew that he had to provide the Jewish people with a future faithful shepherd, which would be Yahushua. That was his real love of the Jewish people to such a degree. So this is what we find here. Okay, I know I didn't read it inside, and it's very beautiful words. Okay, you know, I'll be just one more paragraph on page 3, on the bottom of page 3, on the first column. Dian Haga Fun Moshe Raya Mehemna. Right, the behavior of Moshe, the faithful shepherd, is aber given anders, was different. B'shasti yidin haben gesindig, tat Moshe Rabbeinu gemand by the Eibishtin. When the Jewish people sinned, Moshe Rabbeinu demanded from Hashem, erzol meichel zayn aleit, that he should forgive all the Jewish people, right? That's what he demanded. As he says, Eichtu Rishayim, even and including the wicked people. When nit lois das, was erat sich nit gefiert, vi noyach, was hat erat mispal given blois for sich, ubnei beisai. So Moshe didn't only not act like Noyach, who only davened for himself and his family. Nar atarabim, Moshe Rabbeinu had gezakt, vi im ein, mecheinina misifricha, right? If you don't, erase me. So not only doesn't he learn from Noach, but he does the opposite of Noach, right? He says, if you don't forgive those sinners, well then, just get rid of me, right? Moshe Rabbeinu had sich eingestellt für alle Eden. So he put himself literally in danger, and he was ready to give up his life for all the Jewish people. This is Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what he says, that's what a Raya Mehemn is. A Raya Yisrael stellt sich ein und mit Messiras Nafshei bepeil für Adar. So even a generation that's called the generation of the Midbar, which according to some opinions might not have a chelek ba'olam haba, whatever it may be, Moshe puts himself in danger for even that. It doesn't matter whoever you are, and this is what a leader, and that's why he had to daven specifically for Yehoshua. Okay, now, I just want to go down, leave you a few more of the beautiful psukim. So now, going to your other booklet, which has the psukim, let's see which page it is, because I know we've read some of them, but we didn't read all. So we read the psukim that we read definitely on page 149. Let's see where we are here. Okay. Let's see, very quickly, I want to see on page 150. I think we've read it, but just very quickly read, which I'm sorry, I'm going to scroll. So this is, if you have a chumash, anybody in there, it's Perek Yud Gimel, and it is Pasuk Yud Ches. Oh, let's see, where's my scrolling thing here? Okay, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Ches. Sorry, we'll get... Okay. Because I scanned a lot... Because here's where we see where what Moshe Rabbeinu told them exactly what to look for. Okay. So it's Pasuk Yud Ches. Now Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, as he's sending them, Uri Isem, right? He chose them, and now he's sending them. Uri Isem, and he tells them to go from the south of the land, as we mentioned. It's interesting how they went, you know, it's fascinating what they did. I don't know, honestly, I should know better, but I don't know the geography or Israel well enough. But what they did is they went from the south, but they didn't go from the south to the north. They literally went around the border. So they went on the south from the east to the west, like to the Mediterranean, right? And then they went up on the west side, and then they went the other way. Like, so they mamish went around the whole of Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Meraglim did, which is quite incredible what they did there. And I can imagine them going. Moshe Rabbeinu discusses how, Rashi mentions, it's interesting because they were only there for how long? Remember, 40 days, right? Could you walk, walk all the way around in 40 days? So I know Eretz Yisrael is not such a big country, but still, it's still quite miraculous. And it says a fascinating thing that Hashem made it a miracle for them. He shortened the way a little bit. And why is that? Because he knew that for every day that they were there, they were going to be punished with a year in the desert. He didn't want it to take longer. He didn't want them to be longer than 40 years was long enough. So he said, I'll shorten the way. So he made it like that they should be able to go a little bit quicker than usual. Fascinating. But they went all the way around. Okay, let's see what he asks them. Uri Isem es haaretz, see the land. Mahi, what is it? Ve'es ha'am ha'yeshev aleha, and the people that dwell. Hechazaku, is it strong? Harafe, is it weak? Hama'at, hu imrav, are there few or many? Uma ha'aretz, that's the people. Then he asks about the land. Asher hu yeshev ba, that they're living, in which it dwells, so to speak, where the people are living. So look what he asks. Hatayvahi, is she good? Imra, is she bad? Uma ha'arim asher hu yoshev b'heina, and the cities in which it dwells, where the people live, ha b'machanim, as he says, is it open cities, or b'miftzarim, are they fortified cities with walls? See, it's interesting. You see how he, that's what, it's interesting what we've learned, because it sounds like he's almost leading them on. You realize? Because he's saying good, bad, many, few. He's asking questions that when they come back with their report, it doesn't look so bad. Because they're just answering the questions. You see, that's important to put it in context. Fascinating thing. Then he says, Uma, if you go on to the next page, Uma ha'aretz, this is Pasuk Chaf, hashmeinahi, is it a fat land, fertile, imrasa, or is it lean? Hayesh ba'etz. This is an interesting question. How would you put it if you were asking about etz is what? Tree. So what would you say? Hayesh ba'etz? We talk about the whole country. Trees. You would say etzim. What kind of question is this? It doesn't know what this is. Im ayin or no? We'll have to see. Vizchazaktem. And then he tells them, be strong. Strengthen yourselves. Ulekachtem mipri haaretz. And take from the fruits of the land. And then it makes an interesting comment. V'hayomim yimei bikurei anavim. The days were the days of the ripening of the grapes. That's when they went. Okay? You have to understand. Let's go back. Let's understand a little bit what he's asking. So I just want to see a drop of the Rashi before we do some of the beautiful Mefarshim. Let's see. We're going back to. Okay, yeah. So if you look at Rashi Yudches, right, Haaretz Mahi, right? So he says, Es Haaretz Mahi, Yesh Haaretz Megadeles Kibayrim. There can be a land which produces mighty people, V'Yesh Haaretz, and there can be a land, Megadeles Chaloshim, which produces weak people, Yesh Megadeles Uchlesin. There can be a land which increases population, V'Yesh Mima'etes Uchlesin. And there can be a land which decreases population. And this is a very fascinating thing. I'm just going to tell you this one, even though I have a copy out. I didn't give out the copies, but I just want to share something interesting with you about that the Mefarshim say about this. Oh, I should have done, sorry, because I wanted to do about Yeshua first. Okay, I'll just tell you this and then, I'm sorry, we'll go back because it's a beautiful thing. But I just want to share something interesting. The Sfarnu tells us something fascinating about this. This is an interesting thing about the land. What kind of land are they looking for, so to speak? Like, what kind of land would they be eager to go into? I mean, if you were choosing to move somewhere, what's one of the big things, especially nowadays, that people look at? People are quite aware, interesting even then. What?
Environment.
Oh, yeah, exactly right. The environment. Funnily enough, you think it's a modern thing. The environment. That's actually, if you think about it, do you see what Moshe Rabbeinu is asking them? It's actually quite incredible. I want to show you something beautiful. He says like this. So, if the land, im hi eretz noisheves b'roiv arim b'pras. Okay, so is it a very settled country with a lot of cities? But then he says, Ladas in Moshe Va'aretz Toiv. If you want to know, like, if the land to live there is good, he says, K'moshe Hayru Chachmei Harayfim, like the doctors, or nowadays we might call them the environmentalists, or the people who know how the environment affects our health. Even then they do. See, interesting. We think we're so smart. He says, "Bebchiras hamishkanim shenabit el yoshvei haaretz." What do? You look at the people of the country, and you see, what do they look like? Do they look healthy? Are they strong people? Right? Are they sickly? Are they strong? Are they tall? Are they big? Are they the right weight, so to speak, as he says? As says of Ishlima Haguf, right? Are they complete in their body? Or the opposite. And he says, are there many, are there few? Because if there is a lot of people and the people are strong, Avir, you see? The atmosphere, the environment. You realize that it's a good environment. And the food is good. It's healthy food. So if you live in such a place, well, that's an ideal place to live. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu is pointing out. Obviously, Eretz Yisrael is that type of a place, naturally, if you, you know, choose to do that with it. That's what it has. It has that good. And the opposite will show the opposite. And very beautiful, it says, Hatoivahi, right? Is she good? What is a good land? What do you mean, is she good? What makes a land good? So interesting.
Fertile,
okay. But he asked if it's fertile. I'm going to show you something interesting. Where it says it, Rashi says something nice here. Okay, look at Rashi. Hatayvahi, is it good? Bimayanais, with springs, utahaymais, and deep wells, toivim ubriim, which are good and healthy, good water. Fascinating. Because you're right, fertile, but he asked about that before, right? So this is, what is this? Fascinating. See, they do everything that makes an environment good. You need to have fertile lands. You need to have people.
Water.
Exactly. The most important thing is healthy sources of water. And you can see the healthy sources of water mainly come with these springs and these deep wells that are not affected by what goes on up higher, right? And they stay healthy. And then the people that are there will be healthy people. And this is what Moshe shows, asks them to look out for, because when you go and you will see that that's the case, you will be impressed. You will see this is a land that's inviting, that's a good place to live. Okay, I want to share one more thing, and I feel that I'll just share it with you orally, and then we'll next week we'll go more into this. Very beautiful. Even this is just incredible. I always find it incredible to see how, in a way, advanced, if you want to say, We think we are so advanced, but how much they do. So I want to just share one thing about Yeshua. Because remember we mentioned that, as we said, Moshe Davin specifically for Yeshua. So we said one reason, because he's going to be the next leader, and he has to know how to lead them. But there's another few beautiful, just simpler ways to look at it. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu changed his name from Hosea to Yehoshua. If we don't learn the whole Chumash, then we think that it's just happened now. So fascinatingly enough, in the previous parasha, it already calls him Yehoshua. He's already known as Yehoshua. We think it just happened over here. It didn't. So what's going on? So the Mefarshim tell us something interesting. And we have this before in the Chumash. Do you remember when Yosef became, a viceroy, whatever, he became second in command to Parai? What did Parai do? He gave him a new name. Do you remember? Tzofnas Paneach. It says that when somebody becomes attached to a leader, they sometimes, the leader gives his assistant or his second in command a name, and that's an honorable thing to do. It's something which distinguishes him, and it's honorable. So Moshe Rabbeinu already called Yahshua Yahshua. Some people say that why we're mentioning it here is because when Moshe named Yahshua, when he became attached to Moshe, it was with this prophecy of knowing that he would need help now. Okay, what is Yahshua? What does that symbolize? So if you think about it, what is it? He's adding what to Yahshua? Hashem's name. His name was Hosea, and he's putting the Yud, which makes it that now his name has Yud and He before it. Right? So that's a very interesting thing. So let's see something here. I want to show you. So the Kriyokar says something really amazing about Yeshua. He says like this, that Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the Meraglim were going to be a little bit afraid. That was really their problem, right? I mean, as we said, they didn't want, they wanted to live in a protected place spiritually, but they were afraid. And what was the biggest fear that they had? The biggest, so to speak, one, the biggest trigger that we would call a modern word, but trigger, was Amalek. We know that they already had terrible encounters with Amalek, right? They had that right away. Amalek started up with them as soon as they left Egypt. And Amalek is a nation which we know is not only very, very strong and powerful, but has zero fear and zero aversion to taking risk, will try to harm the Jewish people no matter what, whether they'll be successful or not, right? So now, when the Meraglim were going to go into Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu knew that one of the first nations that they would encounter was Amalek. And as soon as they see Amalek, they would be petrified, they would come back, and that's what they would also tell the people. You know who we saw there? And as soon as they would say the word Amalek, the people would shrink back and say, forget it, we can't go, can't do it, it's too difficult. What happened during the first war with Amalek? Who actually really won the war? Do you remember? I don't know if you remember. It was Yehoshua. Oh, I'm talking about after they... Yeah, remember? And actually the name that was given, it says Yad Al-Keska. It actually uses the name of Yud-Hei, of Hashem. That Hashem's name is the one that gives them the strength. Hashem gives them the strength, and he uses the name Yud-Hei. So Moshe Rabbeinu, the Kliyakar says like this to Yeshua, all you have to remember so that you shouldn't be afraid, because it is scary, is just remember who is with you. Who's with you? Who's always with you? Hashem. And which name of Hashem did he use when he was giving you strength to overcome Amalek? It was Ka, Yud-Hei. So the Moshe Rabbeinu puts it into Yeshua's name. Our name is something that we think about all the time. We know our name. And when the name will be there with Yeshua, it will be a constant reminder to him that even though it looks like we should be afraid, I don't have to be afraid. Not only don't I have to be afraid, but I can inspire the other people around me not to be afraid. And that's why Yeshua carried with him now the name Yud-Hei of Hashem. Very beautiful lesson for us. It's an interesting thing. I mean, some of us, everybody has a different name, and that's all Hashgacha Pratis. But some people have a name that has Hashem's name in it. Even if you don't, your name, your Hebrew name, carries within it special, special blessings. And a person has to realize that Hashem is always with them. So whatever it is, whether it be your name or your pasuk, I don't know if everybody has a pasuk. I don't know if enough people know about that, but your name, let's say Chana starts with a Ches. I don't know your pasuk. I should, but does anybody else? If we look at them in the art scroll, Do you know your pasuk?
Yes. Mm.
It starts with the
so don't sit in your bed and
sit not. Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. Okay, it's a strong pasuk. So how it works is that the first letter of your name, and the pasuk starts with that letter, and then the last letter of your name, right? So a ches and a hey, the pasuk would start with and finish with. And this pasuk, really, you carry with you, say, Bashmina Esrei, but it's... It means, in other words, that we all know Hashem is with us, whatever our name is, whatever our pasuk is. And that's what we have to remember. Ka yeshi'acha, Hashem will save us. Yad al keska. It doesn't matter how difficult the challenge seems. And even if this enemy has come and fought and succeeded a few times, you can still succeed over them. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu says to Yeshua. That's what the Kli Yakar explains beautifully. So he gives him in his name, so he's always carrying it with him. And this is what we have to realize we do. We carry within us the strength, that not our own strength, but Hashem. Hashem is with us. And therefore, we can and we will be able to overcome. And the challenges, let's hope we daven that we shouldn't have challenges. That's the truth. We should have a life that's not full of challenges. We should be able to see, have simchas and good things, and just be able to serve Hashem from simcha, as we say, growing and growing. But if we do have challenges, we should feel confident that we can do it.
Thank you.
So this is...
It's like immigration when you've got to immigrate.
That's it. You have to do it, eh?
Thank you.
That's what it says, that you shouldn't change your name.
That's exactly very good.
Because as soon as you do, you're not identity hiding.
Exactly right.
My
big one.
My father felt very strongly about
that.
Because
wow.
He said, as soon as a person does that, if you don't use your name,
sorry, I'll just make you
so
that.
So you're
if you
hiding
have any
the fact that your identity, like that you're Jewish.